Good morning, church family. As Chris said, I have entitled my sermon, Time is a Gift from God. After going through Ecclesiastes 3, I realise how much time is a gift. Back in 1978, my family was going through a very sad and difficult time. My mum had travelled to Sydney to be my dad's side. Dad had just been diagnosed with bowel cancer, and the doctors had given him 3 months. Doctors working out time. My mum was sitting by my dad's side every single day, holding his hand. Reminds me of my auntie Lorna, who just passed away yesterday at 93. Her daughter was doing the same. My dad, in talking to my mum, said, "Please, darling, let me go." And in talking to mum, I said, "Look, I want to come down and be with you." And she said, "No, it's not the right time at the moment. I'll let you know." Because she had so many people visiting Dad. She did let me know, and John and I travelled to Sydney to be by my mum's side, and on arriving at the hospital, we went straight to visit Dad. This day, Mum had left Dad's side and gone to have a cup of coffee with my brother. As we came into Dad's room, he was on his own, of course, and we heard a loud sigh. Nurses quickly came and shuffled us out onto the veranda. And coming back, the nurse said to me, "Don't you know your father has gone?" I was stunned. I wasn't ready for this. Dad had gone far too early. Doctors had said 3 months, but it was 3 weeks. In doing that and thinking of this story, it made me realise that God was in charge of time, not the doctors. He knew when Dad was to go. Even though we weren't ready for it, it was the time for him to go. And that's exactly what we're going to see today in the passage of Ecclesiastes 3. An ancient book written to help us understand how to live in a world that is beyond our understanding. Today's passage is probably the best known of the whole book of Ecclesiastes. As Chris has already said, the song "Turn, Turn, Turn," written by the birds, has been quite famous. It's a poetic masterpiece. The poem simply states its main point. We find in verse 1, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." The teacher gives us 14 examples in pairs, telling us about every area of life. He's describing life. I know some of you are wondering, why? Why is there a time to kill? Why is there a time to hate? And so on. The teacher isn't prescribing that we do take time to kill and we take time to hate and so on. He's looking at life and observing that if you look at life as a whole, these things may show up in your life at one time or another. There is a time that you were born, and there will be a time that you will die. There are times that you will plant a tree and a time that you will chop it down because it's got too old, too big. There's a time that soldiers will be shooting each other at war, and then there's a time of peace, where they're standing side by side at the cenotaph in remembrance. There's time to build a building and time to tear it down and build another one. There are times to weep and times to laugh. They are the wrong times to weep and laugh. To cry at the wrong time is just as bad as laughing at the wrong time. Time is like a pathway. It's a road to travel. When you were born, you were placed at the beginning of this road, of this path. As the hands on the clock spin, you move along the path. It's a unique path. It's been designed especially for you. It curves, it bends, it's eternal, and it leads you through different lands, leading you to eternal home. Sometimes your path might merge with others on life's journey, just briefly for a short time. Some might merge with someone's life, someone's path, for a long time, and you might stay there from time to time. But eventually, you're all going to on the same journey to eternal home. But we know that we didn't build this path. Our master builder did. He built it for each of us. He designed it with precision, with care, and he knows the lands that your path is going to lead you through, and he controls time. We don't know what's ahead. Do you feel in control of your life right now? Life doesn't always work out the way you plan. We can't run time. Time runs us. It might lead you to a land of pleasure, time of joy, happiness and laughter. But it also might lead you through a land of toil and pain and much work to be done. It might lead you through a land of harvest, a time joined with the products of your hands and the fruit of your labour from previous paths or previous land your path has led you through. You may be led on the path of mourning, maybe a dark time, a difficult time, a time of loss and heartache. You may spend more time in some lands than others. Time and time again, you might go back to the same, along the same path, but our paths move on and on to its end. The days, years have been determined for you by our sovereign Lord. In our text this morning, our teacher Solomon says that God has time for everything under the sun. This means that God is in control, not us. Ecclesiastes 3, Solomon's looking at time. He says that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Do you recognise the value of time? Think about it. Time isn't a renewable resource because once it's gone, it doesn't return. Therefore, how we use it is very important. As people created in God's image, our lives have tremendous meaning. Solomon takes us on a journey through the book of Ecclesiastes to teach us that life has true meaning when we are rightly related to God. He asks whether our days are many or few. How can we best use the time that God has given us? Looking at verses 2 to 8, we read about all the times that Solomon had written, that Karen has read out to us. It's an observation of the things commonly that happen in each of our lifetimes. When the teacher says it's a time for everything, he's saying that God has a purpose for everything. God is at work in everything that happens, even those things we don't understand. To a greater or lesser degree, change is difficult for most of us. Change is part of the rhythm of life. Seasons change, weather change, fashions change, technology is always evolving. With the lengthening of our years, we go through many changes. To be a follower of Christ means we are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you the same person today that you were 10 years ago? I took a long time to think about that. My answer was no. Have we become more like Christ? In our character, our conduct, and our attitude? As Paul says in Ephesians 2, that we were once dead in our transgressions and sins, but in his marvellous grace, God made us alive in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, we have become new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. Life brings many changes, and some of them are difficult and completely out of our control. So the teacher continues in verse 9 to 11, saying that we must accept our limitations. Solomon asks, what do we gain from our toil? What do we gain from our toil? Do we look for glory? We're not going to get it. Sometimes we gain a great deal. Some of us can start a business that becomes very successful. Some of us get a degree, might get an advanced degree and have a very satisfying career. And some have toiled hard to raise a family, and they are seeing their children walk with the Lord. And there are those who have worked hard on the land, producing crops and food for others. We're often rewarded for our hard work. But here was Solomon's problem. For a season of time in his life, he turned his head and his heart away from God. He put himself at the centre of the universe. And it didn't make him happy. He looked at things that he had experienced and accomplished, and he felt empty. Why? Because he made no room for God. Thankfully, in verse 11, the teacher Solomon returns his and turns his attention back to the Lord. He says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. God has put a big question mark in our lives. Everybody, every single human being. Verse 10 says that the burden that God has laid on our heart is for all humanity. Do we know what it is? Sometimes we experience life with great joy. We also experience great pain. And we wonder, why does God let this happen? Doesn't he love us? We get caught up in the moment. But in God's mysterious providence, he's causing things to work out together for good. Again, God makes everything beautiful in its time, including your loss, your failures, your brokenness, your battles, your heartache, your illness. Whatever you are going through, God is going to make it beautiful in its time. Here's what the teacher's driving at. In the limitations of humanity, especially when we make no room for God in our lives, life can be pointless. But with God, everything one day will make sense. Now, looking at the third lesson in verses 12 to 13, Solomon says, I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good in one's life, that each of them may drink and eat and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God. Solomon says here that one of the best things we can do in this life is to recognize, as Paul said to Timothy, the gifts that we have received have come generously from the hand of God. And they're meant to be enjoyed. This is what our hearts are filled with gratitude. I have a short story of a man, 1939, Louis Gehrig, the first baseman of the New York Yankees, discovered that he was dying from a horrible, debilitating disease, later known as ALS. He decided on July the 4th, 1939, that he would stand in the middle of the field and he would tell everyone how they contributed to making his life wonderful. His team, his fans, his manager, the ticket collectors, the groundskeepers, his parents, but especially his wife. They all meant something special to him. And he said to them, you have made my life wonderful. And for that, I want to thank you. What a man, facing a horrible death, knowing that there was no end, no cure for him, that he could stand there in front of all those people and say, thank you. Thank you for making my life wonderful. So I'll ask the question again. Are you enjoying life this morning? Are you thankful for the gifts that God has given you? Mostly, are you grateful for the gracious gift of salvation through Christ? So now we have one more lesson found in verses 14 to 15, where he is saying, trust in God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing can be taken away from it. God does it so people will fear him. Whatever has already been done, and what it has been done before, God will call the past into account. Everything God does is awe-inspiring and will endure forever. So we should fear God. What does that mean? Does that mean that we should have a sense of paralyzing fear? No. It means we should reverence God. Stand in awe of him for who he is and for what he has done. He has planned our futures, showing our commitment to our total being. We need to believe and trust in the Lord. We can rest in the knowledge that we are made for more than all of this. As the teacher has said before, that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. And one day we'll be free from the problems of time. So enjoy life. Enjoy every day that God has given you. Our wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life, said in Proverbs 9:11. And as Paul says in Ephesians 5:15-16, be careful then how you live your life, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, we see that God can tell us what time is for. Our works are like vapor, mist, but God endures forever. There's no doubt that he's in control. There are those who think they can change things, change time. Our movie makers say that we can go back in time and we can be wonderful travellers of time. But we know that none of their stories or fancy machines can help change us and change our time. Time humbles us. Time is under our control. Is it? No, it's not. It is blessed to know that the life we know in the fullness of time, Christ rose to be the Lord of time. To make all things new with Jesus, there is hope for eternity. Jesus gives us hope beyond all time. All of us have a limited amount of time, some more limited than others. We have a limited amount of patience, strength, and understanding, but God, he doesn't have any limits at all. His power is beyond compare. His love for us is greater still. In our spiritual journey, a question all of us have asked from time to time: can I depend on God to meet all my needs? Is God mighty enough, loving enough, forgiving enough, and close enough to help me? God has no limits. His power is beyond compare, and his love for us is greater still. Time is the most precious gift we have. With time, everything is possible. A heart of wisdom starts by using time wisely. It is an act of the will and begins when we set aside time to study God's word, to pray, and to connect with him. Other than your soul, time is the most valuable asset God has given you. If we eliminate time wasters from your daily life, we can return to God the first gift that he gave us, the holiness of time. Solomon urges us to consider the evidence of the hand of God we see all around us. God has set the times to which we are subject to. The things that happen to us, God is in control of everything. And because of this, we can trust God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are unable to master the clock of time, but we know that you, with you beside us as the keeper of time, that we will be able to live our lives with God in control. keep us close and guide us as we move through the time in our lives. Amen.